Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, August 15th. And the NBA 2K ratings have caused a stir in Pistons land. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. A Pistons follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine this summer, whether it's the commute, the morning grind, the gym, maybe at the desk, at the job, wherever you listen. Thank you for listening, and please subscribe to the show on wherever you get your podcasts. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher, Amazon, Alexa, OK Google, all those places where you get your podcasts. Let me know if you can't find us, and also give us a rating, especially on iTunes. We would appreciate that. It's a free podcast. Give us some love or rate us and let us know how much you hate it. We will take that into account as well. But today we're going to be talking about the NBA 2K ratings as some disrespect of Blake Griffin has caused a stir among some Pistons faithful. We're also going to be talking about a player the Pistons organization signed late last week that slipped by me at the time. Wanted to pass along that news, as it's a guy that I've been talking up all summer. Not sure how I missed that one. Got some NBA writer transaction news as well. It's August, give me a break. And we'll also hear what one of the Pistons beat writers has to say about Andre Drummond's new rap album. And also, what has caused a stir with some of you guys? The trainer is gone. Rejoice, I guess. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Give us a follow there. But I spent some time with the Lions on Tuesday. Nice to get out there and see some football. A nice hot day in Allen Park covering the practice for the Detroit News. The Lions have the New York Giants in town for joint practices leading up to this Friday night's preseason game at Ford Field, the exhibition game between the two teams. I was in Allen Park for the Detroit News. I wrote a Pat Shurmur story in Wednesday's news. Check that out in addition to helping out with the notebook for the day. Pat Shurmur, the new New York Giants coach, is a Michigan State grad, graduated from East Lansing in 1987, playing for George Perlis on a conference championship team, was an all-Big Ten center for the Spartans, and actually started coaching his coaching career under Perlis a few years later, and coached up Donovan McNabb in Philly as the quarterback's coach with the Eagles, led him to so many of the big numbers he put up, which I ended up picking up Donovan McNabb in fantasy like year after year for the Eagles. He was like towards the end of his Eagles run, he was a very unsexy pick at quarterback, so I'd kind of let him fall to me, and really got a lot of money from Donovan McNabb, so I appreciate that, Pat Shurmur and Donovan. Pat Shurmur finally got his big break in Cleveland, 2011, lasted 2 years before getting fired. Very Brownsy in his career there at the mistake at the Malake. Regrouped with some big success with Minnesota's offense over the last couple of years, most notably last year as the offensive coordinator with Case Keenum leading the way. And now he has earned his way back into the big chair, this time with the New York Football Giants, one of the more storied franchises in NFL history. So check out that article there as he looks back in his time in the Detroit area, growing up in Dearborn Heights, which is just 4 miles away from the Allen Park headquarters of the Pistons. And since the Lions are back in town for that Friday night game this week, you should be checking out the Locked On Lions podcast with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio, a daily look at the Leos. Check it out on the network. We are your number one local sports daily podcast network, and other breaking news from the network as well. We got some college podcasts coming soon and some ones that you might want to know about if you have some interest in the local sporting teams here in the state of Michigan. All right, well, we're going to be talking about NBA 2K ratings, the one that's got you guys all fired up. Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics got an 87, and Blake Griffin of your Detroit Pistons got an 86. Now, it's August, so we're going to spend some time talking about this, and I don't know, it's obviously a show of disrespect to have a 19-year-old who will be 20 in next season, and Jason Tatum getting that rating. He was a guy who was not an all-star in his rookie season, was a distant third in the rookie of the year voting behind Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell. And by the way, a lot of the guys on Twitter, Pistons fans or not Pistons fans, are bunching in complaints about Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell being ahead of Blake Griffin in there, complaining that those guys are ahead of Blake too. Well, those guys are ahead of Blake because they're better than Blake Griffin. I'm sorry to break that one to Pistons fans out there. Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell are already better than Blake Griffin. Now, I understand the beef with Jason Tatum, because to hear that the best player on the Pistons isn't as good as a 20-year-old who hasn't really proven anything substantial in the NBA quite yet. He's pretty much shown his potential at this point. I get it, and I understand it, and I agree. I think Blake Griffin is a better player than Jason Tatum. I'm not going to scream from the rooftops about it, though, because, guys, we are the Detroit Pistons. We have struggled mightily as a franchise for over a decade now. We're going into the irrelevance of it's creeping into a level of like the pre-Bad Boys era at this point. We're the Dead Wings at this point. I mean, this is a team that is steeped in irrelevance. Blake Griffin, unfortunately for him, in addition to all the injuries that he's had over the years, he now has the Detroit Pistons stink to deal with. That's the team we're talking about here every day on this podcast. And it's part of my DNA to follow and love this team to some extent. And I know a lot of you guys are in that same boat. And at this point, it's not Detroit Lions-y. It's not cursed like that at this point. But it's getting sad and it's getting bad. Now, is there hope to be excited about this team going forward, about this team this season? Absolutely. Dwayne Casey, the defending coach of the year, coming in. But Blake Griffin, for what he showed, and obviously, just like a lot of you guys, I followed Blake Griffin's last season much more closely in the last third of it when he was a member of the Detroit Pistons than the first two-thirds of it when he was with the Los Angeles Clippers. But I did not watch a lot from Blake Griffin last year that made me want to go ahead and get on Twitter and rip on people who make video game ratings and say that they are wrong, because this is that guy that we believe in that deserves to have a higher rating than a 19-year-old rookie who showed a lot, who can knock down the three, who can play defense, who can at times, and yeah, sure, he hit a rookie wall at the end of the season and didn't play really well in really the last third of the season or so, and at times looked overmatched when going up against guys like, oh, I don't know, LeBron James in the conference finals of the NBA, is a guy that helped lead a team that had lost its two best players all the way to the conference finals, and that's a really big accomplishment, 19 years old or no. Now, NBA 2K, I don't know exactly their method in putting their ratings together, but I'm guessing it's more of a projection of next year, maybe combined with where they were at last season, kind of what these guys are going into the game one of the 2018-19 season, the one coming up. And when you look at what Jason Tatum did last year and the fact that he's been healthy, which is something that Blake Griffin hasn't been able to say, again, and we're hoping the best for Blake Griffin's health. We have no reason to believe that another freak injury is upcoming for him, but the medical history indicates that Blake Griffin is going to be out for 10 to 12 games, at least coming up this season. I'm not going to kill the guy for it. There's nothing he can do about the fact that his body might be breaking down a little bit, but that's the fact, and that's what it is. If you're a Pistons fan, and I get it, when this is kind of the disrespect and the culture of Detroit sports fandom is to complain about that disrespect. But instead of that, I think that we should be pushing our teams to feed off of some of that disrespect, feed off of some of that, the culture of disrespect that we get as a city and as a sports town, and feed off of it and go after it and go beat the Boston Celtics. Go become one of the teams in the Eastern Conference is forced to be reckoned with. Go play some freaking defense, and then we can become the team that we were in the past. And I'm not saying that we have to build just like the Bad Boys built, that we have to build just like the Going to Work Pistons built, but we can take some lessons from those teams and infuse it into the toughness culture of Detroit and turn the Pistons into the modern NBA's version of that tough team. And I'm not seeing that from Blake Griffin. And we didn't see that defensively from him. He's got kind of putting together a YouTube clip of bad Blake Griffin defensive plays and indifferent defensive action that he's had is not a very tough thing to do, especially if you watched him in this last third of the season last year with the Detroit Pistons. Now, I know he's carrying a heavy offensive load, and he will continue to carry a heavy offensive load under Dwayne Casey with these new-look Detroit Pistons. But Blake Griffin has a statement year to be made, and I'm not sure if he has it in him. We will see. We will find out all together here every day on Locked On Pistons. But the stock on Blake Griffin is down right now around the NBA. He's not considered a superstar. He's not penciled in as an Eastern Conference All-Star, despite the fact that there's not a lot of All-Stars in the Eastern Conference right now. There's a lot to prove. And does this have to do a lot to the fact that the guy like Jason Tatum comes from Boston. There's NBA writers that are nationally profiled, guys like Bill Simmons, guys like Ryan Russillo, people who are NBA influencers who come from Boston, who basically root for the Celtics, which, and I'm not begrudging them for that, but they have a bigger voice than the average NBA team. The Boston Celtics are like that, just like that in every sport for Boston. Look, I hate Boston. You guys hate Boston. We should all hate Boston. That's what part of our DNA as Detroit sports fans, and that is just quite all right. So don't go on Twitter and complain that Blake Griffin has been this amazing player. Don't throw out the fact that he's had 21 points per game. We watched a lot of that last season. It was pretty empty. There was a lot of uninspired games, a bunch of missed threes in there. He had some very good games as well. And I'm not saying he's washed. I'm not saying there's no chance that Blake Griffin is ever going to be better than Jason Tatum again. And again, I think that Blake Griffin is a better player than Jason Tatum. And the fact that he has a 1 point lower rating on NBA 2K, it's probably wrong. But again, it's not something that I'm going to get fired up about as a Pistons fan. I'm more upset that our team hasn't been able to turn things around and not have to have these kind of discussions about our best player against the 28-year-old unproven guy in the league, and what he's been able to do and what kind of player he is in the stature and list of NBA top players in the league status. So that's my piece on Blake Griffin. I'm not going to get fired up about the ratings. I'm only going to get a little bit fired up about the fact that we're defending guys that have a lot to prove themselves to us and to the rest of the league as well. But again, another bit of news about the Pistons that I missed from the other day towards the end of last week. Zach Lofton has signed a G League deal with the Grand Rapids Drive, the G League team of the Detroit Pistons. That includes a training camp invite. That's my guy from Summer League. It was a guy that came off the bench and provided big scoring for the Pistons Summer League team. Probably the non-roster player that I was most excited about from the Detroit Pistons Summer League team. So congratulations to Zach Lofton. Played at New Mexico State, I believe, at Texas Arlington as well, and had a couple of was the SWAC player of the year as a junior, and then went on to New Mexico State and won conference all first team honors there as a senior as well. So congratulations to Zach. We'll see what he's able to do at training camp. Maybe he can get into some preseason games as well and become a fixture for the Grand Rapids Drive and possibly make his way to Detroit at some point. Congratulations to Zach, and a nice move by the Pistons, listening to Locked On Pistons, as I'm sure the front office does every day as they make their moves. But there's some NBA writer transactional news I'll be passing along to. We've also looking for advertising, as we've been talking about. If you want to reach that key demo of men between the ages of 18 to 44, provincial Pistons fans that have ties to the Metro Detroit and an interest in spending their dollars locally, then you should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons. 98% men and 80% of those between the ages of 18 to 44. All sorts of daily dedicated listeners. If you're interested in reaching that group, email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
Some big NBA news off the court and on press row as Shams Charania has joined The Athletic, the website. You should use the link that I passed along on the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed to subscribe to The Athletic. You should be reading their stuff and supporting good sports journalism. And if you use that link to get your subscription, you will not only get 40% off, $2.99 a month from that subscription, but you will also be supporting the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get great free podcasts, for instance, like the Locked On Pistons podcast every day that your boy Matt puts together. But Shams, he's a 24-year-old from Chicago, went to Loyola. You know Shams, he got hired by Yahoo. He was under the Adrian Wojnarowski subsite there, the Vertical. And even when Woj left for ESPN, Shams was still breaking news. And if you're an NBA fan, obviously you follow him on Twitter. I still get alerts every time he tweets anything. I've been too lazy to turn that off from the beginning of free agency. Shams' career as a 24-year-old who's breaking all the news in the NBA, or I guess half the news in the NBA. Woj still puts it down on him quite a bit. I don't still quite get it. I feel like there's something, a puzzle piece missing with this young man's career that is out there. The Stadium, by the way, which is a Chicago startup, also had a tweet announcing that their own hire of Charania as well. He'll be working for both of those platforms, including The Athletic. And the picture of him is of Shams in a suit, just typing, looking down on his phone, which feels like a little bit of a parody, but I don't know. But there are guys who are just great writers. They have that gene. They have that heart at the early age, but the kind of thing that he does, which is breaking news, it doesn't seem like something that you'd really develop because you're just blessed with this gift. That's the kind of thing that you kind of use with time and developing sources over the years with trust. I feel like maybe he got in with a couple big agents early on, and then the dominoes kind of fell. And I don't begrudge that. If there something like that went on, that doesn't necessarily make it any less of a skill, but a little bit of good fortune there as well. I don't know. I guess there's no way for me to talk about a young up-and-coming writer who's running laps around the careers of guys like myself who are middle-aged sports writers at this point. But I guess this is my way of saying congratulations to Chams Charnia for going to the Athletic, coming over from Yahoo. I think I might just go jump off a building now. But anyway, Rod Beard of the Detroit News, he had a review. Rod Beard, the sports writer, beat writer for the Pistons that we all know and love. He had a review of Andre Drummond's rap album that he released on Friday, which was called FYI, under Drummond's rap name, which is the word Drummond, but instead of the O, the third to last letter, it's an X. So it's like Drum-shinned. I still don't quite know what he was going for there. Again, I would have workshopped that name a little bit more. But according to Rod Beard, he listened to the rap album and he said, quote, "It's not bad," end quote. Later, Rod goes on to say, quote, "It's not rap calculus, but it's not meant to be," as referring to one of the lyrics that he had in that article. Check that out at DetroitNews.com, as Rod Beard had, you know, not much of an enthusiastic review of the positives of Andre Drummond's rap album, but certainly did not dog it as well. I'm probably just not going to listen to it, and I'm sorry about that. I'm not a huge fan of new rap music anymore. I realize this is more me getting old, and rap is probably very similar to what it was when I was a teenager and I loved it back then. I still love the same music I listened to then, even to this day. So it's not you, it's me, rap music. So no offense there. Actually, I say that I won't listen to Drummond's. I will listen to Andre Drummond's rap material sometime this summer, and I'll give you guys a rundown of what I think. I'm sure it's not going to be the best and most reliable rap album review you've ever heard, but we'll give it a shot. But for those of you who are still heavy in the rap game that are listening to this podcast, I do want you to listen to it, and I do want you to let me know what you think. Listen to it. Try to pretend like it's not one of your favorite NBA players, Pistons players, if Drummond is indeed one of your favorite players. Listen to it and give me your thoughts. Send them along to me on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, @SCHOCH, another underscore after that. Maybe I'll get my buddy Ben Beware back on the podcast sometime before the summer is out, and we can talk about the album and get his thoughts on it. But speaking of some polarization for the Detroit Pistons world, John Ishop is gone. I'm going to tell you who he is and why Pistons fans are happy about that. We'll be talking about that next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. And I apologize if I'm a little bit extra ornery today, just trying to close out the day with the Locked On Pistons podcast. A little programming note, trying to go back to the dropping the episodes of Locked On Pistons first thing in the morning. Going to try to go back to that this summer as we close out as well. I promise that by the time the season starts, we will be on a consistent schedule of the time of days that the podcast will publish. You know, 85% of the time you can count on whatever time of day we choose as far as the schedule convenience for me that will work out, that you can pretty much count on that being the time that every day you can expect the Locked On Pistons podcast to drop. But like I said, for now, we'll probably go back to that early morning schedule, which means I'm going to be up late taping these episodes for you here from the Motor City in Michigan. But John Ishop is a guy that most Pistons fans have never heard of, and that's okay. That's the way it should be. But the director, the former director of sports medicine and head trainer, he is now gone, and some people are very happy about it. Vince Ellis of the Free Press reported that news on Twitter, and then he kind of had it out with a fan or two on Twitter, as Vince is wont to do sometimes. I think Vince is excited and has very much earned his trip to Southeast Asia. I think maybe Thailand, heading there in September. So Vince, if you're listening, have a great time out in Southeast Asia. You know, chill out a little bit, let go of the Twitter followers, and maybe even forget about the Pistons world for a little while. Get recharged in the batteries, as all the writers should, as they get ready for the next season coming up. And job well done this offseason, by the way, Vince, as well. And I agree with Vince as he goes after these fans a little bit. In this case, there's too much we don't know for Pistons fans to go out there and blame a whole bunch of things on John Ishop. I know that Sham Mohile, a friend of the show, a guy we've had on a couple of times, he's one of those guys that's ripped Ishop's staff quite a bit over the years. And some of the arguments were about Reggie Jackson and the ankle injury coming back maybe too fast this past season. I thought Reggie looked fine on the comeback. pretty much as good as expected after a major ankle injury like that. He missed a few games down the stretch, but that's something that I would expect. But if you're one of those people who say the season went in the toilet just because of Reggie Jackson going down, then I find a hard time believing that you can complain about the urgency in bringing him back if that was the only way to save any kind of semblance of a charge to the playoffs. I mean, the season had kind of already slipped away by the time he got back anyway. They were in complete desperation mode at that point. Now, if Reggie Jackson had suffered some injury after that in the last few games of the season that affected him going forward, then certainly there's a point to be made there, but that's something that simply didn't happen. So I don't see quite what the argument there. I know that there's a lot of Stanley Johnson talk with his back and how that's been handled over the last couple of years. It's a bad back. I don't know that there's a lot of things that training staffs can do. Now, if there's particular injuries that they're misdiagnosing, if there's treatments that they're doing incorrectly, then that should be brought to light, and we could talk about that here on Locked On Pistons. But as far as backs, from what I understand, there's a lot that can go wrong. There's a lot of things that are very inexact when it comes to backs, and sometimes pain comes and sometimes it goes. We've seen this in every sport. We've seen this with every body, and not just athletics. I mean, bad backs are really tough to deal with. Steve Kerr presumably has the best medical staff, and I know his is more complicated than just a back problem. He's got the headaches and all the stuff that he's had since he's had the back surgery, but one of the more complicated injuries out there, and one that has derailed careers all over the place. And Stanley Johnson is still a very athletic player, certainly isn't trash right now as far as his body or back. So, and I know that it's been he's been in and out of the lineup at times this past season, but I don't know that the training staff is something you can blame on that. Maybe the Avery Bradley injury was handled poorly. He had a groin injury and then came back for a game before he was sidelined for really what ended up being the rest of the season, including the trade with the Los Angeles Clippers. And there are some instances of things that have happened. And again, Sham Mohile, of formerly of Detroit, of Piston Powered, who's out there on Twitter, you guys know Sham, does a good job. And I know he's got a medical background, so he talks about some of the problems that the Pistons training staff has had. But again, I think a lot of that stuff is hearsay. I don't know that there's any of us out there that have been in that room. Again, Vince Ellis was someone who was defending John Ishup and his former training staff as maybe saying that some of you guys on Twitter don't have the medical degrees, don't have the inside information that either Vince has and certainly that the Detroit Pistons and their training staffs has had. So I'm going to cut those guys a break. I'm going to say that the Pistons have had a lot of problems over the past 10 years, and the training staff might be one, but it's probably a minor one compared to some of the bigger problems that this team has had over the last decade. Arnie Kander, who is consulting with the Pistons, by the way, we talked about this a little bit in the last couple weeks, the former stretching guru from the Pistons Bad Boys and Going to Work era days of yesteryear. He turned down a more prominent permanent position with the team, according to Vince Ellis of the Free Press, but will stay on as a consultant in that role with the franchise. So no cartwheels as far as him coming back, working full-time and rubbing the magic Arnie juice on some of those injuries and keeping everyone healthy. But it sounds like the Pistons will have another hire to make with their wellness department. The director in sports medicine and head trainer, John Ishup, is gone. And some of you guys are rejoicing about it. To me, not a huge deal. Just another blip on the August radar for me at this point with the Detroit Pistons. But hey, if you're going to be really happy about it and have your August parade on it, that's fine by me. But give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also give us a follow on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account and check out the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and have a great day.